All right. Well, good evening, everybody. Again, I hope everybody is doing well. We are in the second to last sermon in this series. This series is called
Real.
Thanks, y'all. This series is called Real, right? And we've been having real conversations about real topics and stuff that, conversations that maybe we don't normally would not have just on a normal preaching service or something like that. But again, the goal for this series is to be different and talk plainly about some of these topics. So we've talked about a lot of things. We've talked about real Christians. We've talked about real church. We've talked about real why, which was talking about, grief and loss and evil and why God allows those kinds of things. We talked about real identity, which is discovering who we are and who God has destined us to be. We talked about real struggle, which was dealing with anxiety and depression and stuff like that. And then 2 weeks ago before spring break, we talked about real dating and what does godly dating look like. And this week, if this is your first week with us, I'm sorry. They're not all like this. But y'all, this week we are talking about the topic of sex. And we approach this topic, I don't approach this topic haphazardly, all right? So today is going to be interesting, but I want to preface this with this. There's several ways that I could approach this tonight, and there's several ways that you can take this tonight, all right? And so I'm going to tell you my intention, and then I'm going to ask something from you, okay? Listen, my intention here is not to be graphic. We're not going to discuss the birds and bees in intimate detail. Or hopefully, and my goal is not to make things awkward for you and in that kind of any way. But hopefully, my intention is to explain God's intention for sex and why it should be done in His timing and His specifications. So here's my ask from you. My ask is that we would be able to have an honest and serious talk. Because there's a lot of this that can be jokey. There's a lot of this that can be funny, can be awkward, but I promise you, if you genuinely listen and we talk about this kind of stuff, I promise you'll find some of it helpful. And y'all, tonight, more than most nights, I'm going to talk about myself a lot and some of the things that I've experienced and dealt with. And so hopefully you can relate to some of that kind of stuff too. So again, I say that to say, tonight is going to be interesting and different, and if you're brand new or if you're back for the first time in a little while and you had no idea what was happening, you've been ambushed. I'm sorry. But I love y'all, and I want to have an honest talk about this, y'all. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is a passage of Scripture that we have read quite a bit throughout this series. We read it in the identity section. We read it a little bit in the dating section, and now we're going to read it again for tonight's topic. And so this is a passage that we run to a lot when it comes to this kind of topic, all right? There are many, many instances that the Bible talks specifically about this topic. And so don't think that, by and large, this is the main go-to scripture on the topic of sex in the Bible. If you're really digging into it, the whole thing of Song of Solomon can be interpreted that way. But this is just what I think a good starting point, especially for where y'all are tonight as teenagers. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 12. I was in the wrong chapter. There it is. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her. For as it is written, the two will become flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Therefore, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. God, I thank you for the opportunity tonight, God. And as I approach this subject, God, I don't do so lightly. And so, God, I pray that as we discuss this tense topic, God, and a little bit awkward topic, God, that we would do so through your lens and how you view this. And, God, that we would genuinely learn from you and your intentions for us. And I pray that these would be your words and not mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So to start us off tonight, I want to start by saying this. All right? I want to put something out there that I think maybe sometimes we get confused. And this thing, and the first thing that I want you to know is this, that sex was created by God to be enjoyed. All right? It is a good thing. So in Genesis chapter 2, is God is creating humanity, and he specifically in Genesis chapter 2 creates the female to be a partner for male. And he commands them in that chapter, be fruitful and multiply. And that is Old Testament language for birds and bees. All right? So it is saying, God is basically putting that out there and commanding them to go forth and to be a married couple, to do married couple things. All right? So I feel, though, that sometimes we frame this topic up, especially for students, that we frame this topic up as sex is completely taboo, that like you're never supposed to participate in this ever. And matter of fact, I've known people in my life who grew up in church and heard so often that sex was a bad thing, and they attended they did the purity month things, and they did all this kind of stuff. And one person in particular that I know of, when they got to their wedding day, were so freaked out that they couldn't even be with their husband. And so I want to stop that too, to say that's not a bad thing. All right, this is not a bad thing. Sex in general is not a bad thing. But it does have stipulations. It does have a God-designed timing and a God-designed purpose. So, what is the purpose? What did God create sex for? Well, he created it for a husband and wife. He created it so they would enjoy each other. He created it so they would grow more intimate together. Y'all, this is designed with the purpose of intimacy. It's designed so, not so that like that can be what your marriage centers around, but it deepens your marriage. You get to know someone on a different level than you would have known them just with conversation. That's what it's designed to do. It's designed to make a marriage and to basically and essentially glue you to each other, and so that you have this bond with each other that stands the test of time, that as you can truly be a married couple who go through life together, and it helps to endear you to one another. In a much more broader sense, the purpose of sex is to be fruitful and multiply. It is God's design to grow humanity, to continue us into the next generations. And so it serves a twofold purpose. It serves an emotional purpose, and its physical purpose is to continue on the human race. So why is getting the who and the when right so important? Why, when we talk about this subject, is it so important? So let's return back to our passage, okay? Let's return back to this passage. It says this, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. what Paul is talking about here, and your Bible may have quotes like it has on the screen there, all things are lawful for me. So what he's doing is he's quoting somebody else. The Corinthian church is known for being a bit rough. We'll say that. The Corinth is a major travel city. It's a place where lots of people are coming in and out. Lots of people from foreign lands and sailors and a lot of gruff and rough people. And so Corinth as a city was known for night workers, if you will. And so as a city, Corinth is already pretty sexually immoral. But then you add to the fact that the Corinth church had another issue within it. And you had this man who his mother had died and he had remarried. Well, then his father died, and so his son married his stepmother. Which is, yes, that is as weird as it sounds. Yes, I know. And so they had this problem within their church already of this sexual immorality. So Paul is jumping on people in the Corinth church. So that's what he's saying here, all right? He's saying, all things are lawful for me. There's no direct law that says you can't marry your stepmother, but should you do it? No, you should not, all right? So what he's saying there, and he's saying this, and he's saying this more generally about our lives in general, just because there's not an explicit rule on it does not mean it's a good thing. But also at the same time, sex is not something that doesn't have explicit rules on it. And when you look throughout the Bible, there are 19 lists of what scholars call vice lists, meaning where whoever is the author of that specific book has listed out a bunch of sins that the people are participating in or God will turn them over to, and it's just a bunch of lists that they just name out, just sins. And sexual immorality, or some form of it, is mentioned in over half of those lists. Matter of fact, when you look at the Bible as a whole, next to idolatry, sexual immorality is the second most talked about sinfulness that biblical writers have had to address. So, sexual immorality is not something new. It's not something that, it may be worse now in our time and day, but I would also say you probably don't know much about Roman society if you think it's worse now. Sexual immorality has been around for a long time. Christians have had to be fighting it for a long time. And I think a lot of times we get into this dangerous mindset of saying just because God has created something and he doesn't outlaw it, that it must not be sinful to participate in it at any time. And that's not what God is saying here. Right? Just because God created this thing to be intimate does not mean that you get to just participate this in any time and any place. And so God has placed strategic limits for a reason, and those strategic limits should be taken seriously. So the first reason why we should be careful and we should only have sex within the God lined out times and with specific people, meaning your spouse, when you're married, is because God has commanded it so. Sex between a husband and a wife who are married is the only lawful way, according to the Bible, and time for sex. So, that's the first thing. That's why getting it, the when and who, is so important. The second point is this. So, first of all, it's a command from God. The second reason is this. Your body is not just yours. And you can't just use it how you want. Your body is not just yours, and you can't just use it how you want. Now, that's counterculture. All right, because that's not what today's culture is going to tell you. Today's culture says you can be what you want to be, do what you want to do. You're a free-thinking human being. In many ways, today's culture says sex is just a physical thing and it has nothing to do with anything else. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But I want to tell you here and now, I'm not saying that you're being owned by somebody else, but your body is not just your own. And it belongs to two people. Number one, it belongs to God. Right? It says that right here in this passage. When you look at it, verse 18, therefore flee sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. When you think about it, and you look back, God has sense two ways that he can have input on what you say and do with your body. Number one, he created it. He gave you your body. Put your conscious being inside your body. If someone creates something, are they the lawful owner of it? Yes, they are. If you're familiar with like laws and stuff like that, like when somebody creates something, say like Mickey Mouse, somebody they have proprietary ownership of something like that, right? So you can't just go use Mickey Mouse without getting permission from Disney. And Disney doesn't just hand that stuff out. You got to pay for it, right? Same thing kind of applies to you. God is your creator. And so therefore, we are subject to his purposes for our body. We use it as he has intended, ultimately to fulfill his will and his purpose for our lives. So the first person that our body belongs to is God. The second person that your body belongs to is your spouse. I didn't put it up on the screen, but Paul would go on to say in chapter 7, he says this, now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman, but because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. Listen to this part. The husband, skipping down. Verse 4, for the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. That's, again, not an ownership kind of thing. It's not saying, hey, your husband or your wife controlled you and what you do. But it is saying that there's a piece of you that belongs to them. And we are depriving them of that piece of us if we don't wait for them. Again, I told you I'd tell you something about my life. I have pretty much done it all, and I'll leave it at that. I was wild and sometimes and a Christian in the others. But wild half the time and Christian half the time equals not saved the whole time. I've made mistakes with girls, and prior to Anna, I've made mistakes. And can I tell you that doesn't hit you until you go to be married? Right now, at your age, honestly, you probably don't think about that kind of thing. You don't think about waiting for your wife. Maybe you do. Good on you if you do. I didn't. And y'all, I had, as far as church goes, had been there, got the ticket. I did the purity studies. I even had a purity ring, you know, that I did the study, you know, whatever. Signed the contract. But at the end of the day, you get alone with people and a teenage boy, and stuff can happen. If you're sitting in this room, I imagine the majority of you in there have probably experienced something like this. Maybe you didn't fail like I did, but probably experienced something like this. And again, that doesn't hit you until you go to be married. And it doesn't hit you until you got to be married to someone who did wait for you. Because now I have nothing to give my wife that's uniquely hers. Nothing to give my wife that is uniquely hers. I've loved other people. I've given other people gifts. I've given a lot of people my friendship. The one thing that was supposed to be uniquely hers for the woman I've chose to love for the rest of my life, I no longer had to give her. But she had that to give to me. And if that's not a picture of grace, I don't know what is. But y'all, it stings a little bit. And it should sting a little bit. Because in a way, you kind of can begin to feel like tainted goods. And that's not right either. That's shameful. But y'all, it's important. It's important because your future spouse deserves to get all of you. And the more you go around, you sleep around, you do the things, the less and less and less special those moments actually are with your wife or your husband. So, your body is not just yours to do with as you want. It belongs to others. Third thing is this. Sex is not just physical. Let me say that again. Sex is not just physical. The world tries to separate a lot of things. And again, and I said this earlier, and it tries to separate the physical stuff from the emotional stuff. I think sometimes in our minds we want to do the same thing. Oh, well, I just sleep with her, you know. Like we love to do the world likes to do the whole friends with benefits thing. And y'all, can I tell you that's a bold lie? As I said before, you leave pieces of yourself with people the more you sleep around. Again, what was the purpose of sex? It's to create intimacy. To create special moments with the person you're supposed to be spending the rest of your life with. You take that intimacy into a high school relationship, it can be pretty fun for a little while. But then you go to the next one. And you leave another piece of that intimacy there. You go to the next one. And you leave another little piece of that intimacy right there. And it ruins the eventual intimacy you will have with your wife. Y'all, we are not strictly physical beings. I could go deep with it, and we could dive into the chemical reactions and things that happen to endure you to somebody, to create that intimacy. We don't have time for all of that. But it's scientifically proven, hookup culture is a lie. And it ruins our ability to have real relationships with people, real conversations with people, long-term, good, loving relationships with people. The other side of that coin of sex is not just physical, is that it does not take a physical action. That can look like several things. A lot of times we try to think, oh, well, I didn't go all the way. We just kind of kissed on each other a little bit and rubbed on each other a little bit. Oh, I just looked at a screen. Can I tell you something, guys? Your brain can't differentiate between a screen and real sex. It sure can't differentiate between us just rubbing around a little bit and real sex. Those same emotional connections, reactions are happening every single time. Sometimes you're forming an emotional connection with a girl you'll never meet in your life through a screen. And that can severely mess you up. creates intimacy with someone you'll never even know. Sex is not just a physical act. My fourth and final point on this is that your brain and body are affected permanently. Your brain and body are affected permanently. And I say that because of this. Again, I can get into the physical, you know, the chemical reactions that are happening in your brain and not that, but sex is filled with a lot of hormones, a lot of endorphins, dopamine being the main one. And throughout time, your brain can create these reactions and crave these reactions. And you can become addicted to something. I say that because you can become addicted to pornography. You can become addicted to sleeping around the more you do it. It's okay to be addicted to having sex if you're just having sex with your wife. But how many of y'all are planning on getting married right now? Right? So getting addicted to sex right now is not a good thing. Your brain chemistry changes. Things change. Also, too, again, we talked about leaving bits of pieces of emotional intimacy. As you create these moments throughout time, they're very important moments. They're very key emotional moments. And do you know what has a very great effect on forming a memory? An emotional tie to it. So I say this as the greatest reason to not sleep around now, to not get involved in the pornography now. Those moments do not leave you. Those moments do not leave you. Again, I promised I'd talk a little bit about myself. Y'all, the most shameful thing that I have in my past is a pornography addiction. I can tell you the very first time I ever saw an image, and this was on the bus in seventh grade. And y'all, it ravaged me till college. And y'all, can I also tell you this about a pornography addiction? Even if you quit looking, it never leaves your head. Much like an alcohol addiction, you never not want to have a drink. Y'all, I can't get on Instagram for long periods of time. I don't get on Instagram for long periods of time. My wife checks my browser history. Why? You need those backups to break that kind of stuff. Why? It never leaves you. Open and honest right now, do not start. You never want to be thinking about something else when you're supposed to be trying to enjoy your spouse. When you sleep around, you get all these pictures about how good sex is supposed to be, and I hope your partner lives up to them and is the best sex of your life. Otherwise, she or he are going to be living in a shadow. Y'all, real talk right here. This is why. And I'm stepping out on a limb, and this is maybe more than you bargained for. Maybe I'm sharing a little too much, and I may get in trouble for it. It'd be okay. But y'all, I'm passionate about this because I have lived this, and it is the greatest shame on my life. It's the greatest shame on my marriage. And then y'all, for the guys sitting in the room, you know how hard it is sometimes to look at a daughter knowing how you looked at women in the past? It's different. I tell you this now, learn from me. Don't make my mistakes. Save yourselves. Because God commands it, because your spouse deserves it, and guys, because it's better on you and your brains and your development, and y'all, it just makes for a better life in marriage. I promise you, it makes for a better life in marriage. I want to end this with here, though, and say, if you're sitting in this room and you've messed up, in a room this size, some of you in here have had sex. In a room this size, some of you have looked at pornography. I know that because there's at least one guy in here that has done that, all right? Some of you in here have already burned the bridge. It's not too late to stop now. It's not too late to begin saving now. Can I tell you this? Just because you've burnt the bridge does not mean keep going, because that doesn't work either. All it does is ingrain more images, more things into your head. Divide yourself off piece by piece a little more. Stop now, please. But I also want to end with this. Y'all, this is not a shame game. Don't hear me looking down on you saying, how dare you do these things? I've been in your shoes. I know it's hard as a teenager. You have all these things going on. I've burnt the bridges too. I know where you are. Your marriage can still be good. You can get by. And so don't hear me shame you. Hear me say, be better. Do better. Hear me look at myself and say, be better, Jonathan. Do better, Jonathan, every single day. Hear me say this, I love you and I'm here for you. If you need to talk about these things, I've been where you are. I can help give you some solutions to get you started on the right path to recovering from these kinds of things. Y'all, God has a passion for this. And it will be a great thing when you get there with your husband or your wife. But do it in God's timing and with God's person for you. So, I'm here if you need to talk to me. Some of the adults in the room, they would love to talk to you about this kind of stuff too. Y'all, I love you. Hear that above all else. We love you and we care for you. And God loves you still and cares for you still and wants the best for your life. So I'm going to pray for us and then we're going to dismiss. So God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the God, just the blessing and the opportunity to speak to these kids on this subject, God. And God, it not that it's a good thing, but God, hopefully, in the very least, they can learn from my failures. God, I pray for these kids. It's a tough world out there. Everything from social media to movies and TV, God, to just everything about culture bombards them. God, guard their brains and their eyes and their hearts. God, strengthen them as they go, God. If there's someone in here who needs to be better about guarding their hearts and their eyes and their minds and their bodies, God, give them the strength to do so. Convict us where we need conviction, God. Forgive us of our failures. And strengthen us to live according to your will and your purpose for our lives. I pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.